It all started with the time slip. There was a division. Something had changed in all of us after 2042, starting with the birds. It was like any other day in 2057. I had arrived at our local grocery store that morning, bundled in my mint-colored peacoat, white gloves, and hat, ready to gather the rest of the Thanksgiving groceries. Waiting in that long, winding line, I didn't even care how long it took to get inside. I was just excited to host that year. All of my family would be there, and it was an honor to finally get the opportunity to take the reins. I was sorting my grocery slips when disaster struck. The manager had stepped out from the store and stood next to the front security guard. He wore a discontented grin. No, I thought. No, please. I could feel what was coming. Sorry, ladies, but we're out of fly tail. He quickly turned back inside as a flare of disappointed chatter and sighs washed over the waiting line of ladies, several having left the line, set on finding what they needed elsewhere. Long gone were the days of standard poultry, turkey, chicken, duck, the avian virus having wiped out the majority of the bird population back in 2042. The rest that survived had stopped producing eggs. It was chaos for those first few years after, but we eventually got used to it. The scientists, they tried to genetically re-engineer the birds. They went to cross species, hybrids. They even tried grafting chicken wings to the backs of pigs. But that didn't last too long. Those hideous poor creatures. And it just didn't taste right. The line inched closer to the door. I stood next to one of the colorful cartoon soap sketch advertisements in the window. An enormous praying mantis loomed over the $79.99 per pound, with an asterisk clarifying the limit of one pair of heliopranc compound eyeballs per customer. I didn't know what I was going to do. Surely the next thing to go after the smoked dragonfly tails would be the grasshopper shanks. I looked at my grocery slips again, concerned. Did I have enough to cover the difference if I had to get flying squirrel skewers? Thankfully, I had caught a couple emerging cicadas in the backyard last year. I kept one and gave the other to my nosy next-door neighbor, who had been on our porch at the time. That's illegal, she had hollered from behind me. I was elbow deep in rubbled dirt and roots, struggling to get a grip of the beast of a bug. They'd grown to a good foot or so long with the lack of predators over the years. You should have seen my pothole-riddled backyard. I had wrapped my arms around the thing. It felt like I was cradling the back end of a weed whacker. Didn't you hear me? She continued squawking, hands on her hips, when I popped the cicada out of the tangle of tree roots, falling back onto her sandaled feet. Here, I wheezed, trying to catch my breath. Let's keep this between us. Cicada chestnut stuffing, I thought. At least there was that to fall back on. I'd have to start thawing it out for it to be ready for Thanksgiving. Step behind the line, the wide-eyed security guard barked at the lady in front of me as he counted how many left the store, clicking a ticker in his hand, allowing a few of us to pack in just under the store's max capacity. Inside, it was a blur of women with their squeaky-wheeled shopping carts, darting erratically across the store. Most were headed to the meat department, and so was I. Grocery workers dropped pallets of folded python roasting skins, a holiday favorite. The shimmery skin expanded and tied off on the ends, baking to a luminous crisp while keeping your roasts nice and juicy. The customers tore through the pallet as they knocked over nearby end caps and shoved each other. It was everyone for themselves, and it had been that way for years. Wheeling to the fresh meat, I stared at the scrawled, "No Fresh" sign taped on the meat counter window. The Thanksgiving meats were long gone, leaving behind scattered wrapped trays of turtle steaks, armadillos in a half shell, and ground beetle meat. But those didn't really pass as festive, let alone holiday. "Move it!" someone sneered, T-boning my cart before rushing to the frozen meats. Looking over, there was a ravenous swarm of women in pastel-colored A-line dresses, with coiffed updos pushing and pulling each other, fighting over the remaining anaconda rib roasts. Over the lulling smooth jazz, one of the managers stood with a megaphone.
"Ladies, please."
You could tell that things had deteriorated beyond his control. He sighed.
"One per customer. Thank you."
The megaphone squealed off as he dipped out of sight. Rolling up my sleeves, I charged into the crowd, ready to claim a roast. Arms flailed around me, ripping at the last of the frozen sacks, my hand finding one of the handles, when a stout little girl elbowed her way in and grabbed the same roast. "Mommy wants this one!" the little girl snarled at me. Taken aback, despite her bratty response, who was I to ruin a little girl's Thanksgiving? Decidedly, I let it go, watching my good deed as the little girl returned to her mother, who was already holding a roast. They walked to the checkouts while I stood defeated at my empty cart. What was I gonna do? Did I have time to... When suddenly, I spotted a forgotten roast that had been kicked under a produce table. Picking it up, I almost cried with joy, relieved that it was still frozen. I laid in bed the night before the Thanksgiving party, intent with my preparations. Pulling the covers to my chin, I listed the tasks ahead of me for the following morning. The order of cooking the dishes, ingredients that still needed to be chopped, the roasting of the half chestnuts. When my eyes shot open, I ripped my covers off, dashing down to the basement deep freeze, where I withdrew the giant frozen cicada. Its icy carcass stared back at me in a preserved state of escape, with its hairy legs and suction beak jutted out from the thick frost. I desperately started the kitchen faucet, turning it all the way to hot against my better judgment, and filling a large canning pot where I plopped the bug in and prayed that it would thaw by morning. Sunrise came quick, tattered from lack of sleep and mounting stress. I worked on the meal all morning, convincing myself that everything would be okay. By noon, the house had a fragrant, welcoming, warm, almost poultry smell. As I diligently made the side dishes and folded festive cloth napkins, while occasionally basting the fleshy sides of the anaconda rib roast with spiced, I can't believe it's not butter. Looking at the clock around 3, I knew my extended family would start making their way over. No turning back! I cranked up the oven and tossed the mostly defrosted cicada on a sheet pan bed of roasted chestnuts and leeks, in hopes that it would cook through by dinner time. Things were going as planned. We had a nice fire going in the fireplace. Smooth jazz playing. Everyone was enjoying their time munching on the decorative snack trays dotted throughout the living room. My husband serving hot toddies. My children gathering coats as family trickled in. My aunts brought several sides, the favorite being coconut-covered jellied mantis eyeballs. Taking their dishes, I made my way to the kitchen counter when I noticed a slight hum coming from the oven. Cracking the oven door open, the light turned on, illuminating the cicada. It was starting to flick its wings. Didn't I prick its heart before freezing? I couldn't remember. Grasping the oven door closed, eyes wide, I looked around for anything that I could tie the oven door closed, tightening it to the overhead microwave handle. My appliances lacked cords. I'd already transitioned to all Bluetooth rechargeable appliances. Oh God, the embarrassment if they found out. The oven shook sporadically as I held on, stretching my leg towards the broom closet. My kitten-heeled foot inching open the door, causing a broom to drop into my hand. I managed to wedge the long broomstick at an angle through the microwave handle into the oven handle, keeping it closed for the time being. I slapped the heat as high as it would go. It definitely didn't like that. It started to make a whirring sound, and bashing its body around like a pinball trying to escape through the loosely closed oven door. Calming myself, I proceeded to the living room, where I secretly unsheathed the fireplace poker, hiding it behind myself as I tried to ease back to the kitchen, unseen.
Everything all right?
My husband's inquiry made everyone stop and turn to look at me. Oh, yes, everything's swell, dear. I faked a smile, excusing myself from the party. The broom handle was cracking. I plunged the poker through the oven door opening, jangling and swiping it at the beast. Please, oh please! Images of the giant bug in flames, flying around the living room creating holiday chaos and panic flashed through my mind. The poker was caught in the oven grate. The dastardly bug, it started to emerge from the cracked door, poking its legs, its beak, its vengeful eyes, edging its head through the cracked door, plotting to break free. When I slammed the door closed, its head squelched clean through, splatting onto the floor, its body falling back onto the roasting sheet pan. It was a lovely Thanksgiving dinner. Picturesque. And I even had requests for my cicada stuffing. Maybe I've started a new family recipe. It'll be a Thanksgiving we'll always remember.